In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You may have been among the millions of Americans who held their breath today, hoping that you would be awarded $1.6 billion. Apparently, Job got the ticket. He had many, many, many cattle and lots of cash. Wonderful lessons we have today. The second reading from Hebrews really is the foundation for our cross, the high priestly Christ. So if you're wondering why that's been hanging there, go ahead and read the piece from Hebrews again today. And then, of course, we had this reading where one of the few people to recognize who Jesus is was a blind man. He was one who was able to see. Wonderful lessons to preach from, but I'm not here to preach on those. I've been invited to share with you some thoughts about stewardship. Stewardship is quite simply our response to God. Our response to God for our creation, our preservation, and for all the blessings of this life. As we gain a healthy sense of stewardship, we will joyfully return to the Lord sacrificial offerings of time and talent and treasure. And yet every church still receives lots of dollar bills, which are rarely a sacrificial offering, although I don't rule that out. I don't think that this kind of meager giving is sinful. I don't even think it's cheating the Lord. Mostly, this sort of meager giving reflects a long-time pattern of giving a token and not really offering one's life. The pattern of giving a few dollars on Sunday may need to be rethought if we are to fulfill what God expects of us as stewards. But then we have to be willing to ask the question, what does God expect of me with regard to stewardship? Scripture emphasizes that offering a gift that reflects that God is first in our lives is what is of most importance. So the people of the Old Testament were instructed to offer to God through the priests in the temple what came first. In Deuteronomy, it says, "The first fruits of your grain, your wine, and your oil, as well as the first fruits of your sheep, you shall give him." It might be noted that the first of these items was not necessarily the most valuable. The point was that by thinking first of what one could offer to God, one was placing God first in one's life, and this priority is what made the gift worthy of God. This realization is at the heart of Christian stewardship. Jacob, for example, made this vow to God. "And this stone which I have set up as a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that he has given me, I will give one-tenth to you." His offering, Scripture says, was pleasing to the Lord. I hope that we can think of our offertory gifts as faithful returns of a part of God's blessing to each of us. God's word helps us understand that we are made in God's image and gifted by God. We would do well to praise God that we are so wonderfully made and then use the gifts we have been blessed with for the ends that God intended. Those gifts of our time, our talent, and yes, our treasure. God's grace is always sufficient for us as we overcome what may be selfishness, but more likely fearfulness. God can use our gifts all the more effectively to his glory and his purposes when we give out of a sense of thanksgiving. As important as realizing that our offertory gift is meant to be a worthy return to the Lord is the spirit in which we present our gifts. Nobody is pleased to receive a gift given resentfully. A gift which costs the giver as little as possible is kind of an insult, but a gift given joyfully out of love is always cherished. The psalmist said, I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. And St. Paul reminded the early Christians that this spirit of joy should shine through all that we do. Paul writes, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Giving thanks to God in all circumstances can be a test of our faith, but it is proof of our love of God. Our gifts of time and talent and treasure offered to God, however great or humble, are best given with a sincere sense of thankful joy. We live within a covenant of love with God. And always remember that nothing can separate us from God's love, and nothing should keep us from offering joyful thanksgiving to God. St. Paul asked the Christians of Rome, who will separate us from the love of God? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The scriptures provide us a touching testimony of joyful thanksgiving to God, even in times of great distress. The prophet tells of a time which says, decay invades my bones. And the situation of the people was desperate, but listen to the prophet's attitude toward God. Though the fig tree not blossom, no fruit is on the vines, though the produce of the olive fails, and the fields yield no food, though the flock is cut off from the fold and there is no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will exult in the God of my salvation. Placing God first in our lives and returning to Him a worthy sacrifice in a spirit of joy and thanksgiving are goals of our faith which we may not have connected with something as commonplace as the offering plate being passed each Sunday. Yet what we place in that plate is given to the Lord, and it reflects our intentions of our hearts, and it reflects all of our priorities. Remember, there is always a promise of sufficiency from God when we offer ourselves for God's work. Ask, and it will be given you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be open for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be open. Keep in mind these promises. Know that as we seek God's will in making our stewardship offering, His promises will never fail us.